KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos, and welcome to another week. The first full week of the month of Junio. That's June. Join the intern in Espanol. Gus Kattengill with you. Join the intern. And of course.
Si.
Yes, exactly. Mi amigo over there in La Rose, Joey. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very steamy and hot continuation of just a... What's the last time it rained? My wife asked me that yesterday. I'm like, yeah, you know,
I don't know. It's kind of been... It's been quite nice not having any rain.
Yeah. No, you kind of need to have it, though. Like, so over the weekend... My parents got a little pool, right? We called it, the Kattengill Yacht Club back there, if you saw the pictures I sent to you yesterday.
It was nice. It was
nice.
Big.
Hey, that's
big.
That's $30 investment ever for my folks. Appreciate it. So, you know, little guys in there, we play. So it took like 45 minutes to fill. Point that I'm making is, as you take off or you dump all the water, there's no puddling in the ground. It's so dry. That literally 45 minutes worth of water in this pool. It's a pretty big pool. That when it was dumped and it was drained, it just went whoosh, right into the ground. So, I mean, it's not like you're dumping a, you know, thing of water there or something or a cup. So it was pretty good. Anyway.
You just did it.
Yeah. No,
I'm watching the Weather Channel.
I'm already looking at October. And speaking of the Weather Channel, I walked in earlier this morning. My mom has it on and. That there's a depression or something that could develop into a depression in the lower left corner of the Gulf.
And we're opening the Morganza Spillway. And they're giving, now that you El Gato Negro the weather, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 60%, 70%, 90%.
Good. We need a little rain.
Rain. With a flood.
Yeah. No, we're not flooding. Although, it's crazy, right? If you have too much saturation, you can have flooding. And then if you don't have enough water for a while because of drought, you can have flooding because the ground's too hard to absorb the water. So, I mean, you got to have that happy medium.
Let's see what happens on the weekend.
Exactly. 800-998-1003 is the number to give us a call. At ESPN Radio NOLA, we'll talk, of course, about the NBA Finals game number 2, 109-104, goes the way of the Warriors. They suffer another injury. Klay Thompson looks like a right hand injury. His teammates in the tunnel with his hoodie, but can he play or not? That's two key players. Can they continue as the series is tied 1-1 as it moves back to Golden State? Got to wait all the way to Wednesday for game number 3. We'll talk about that. Saints OTA week number 3 mini camp is next, as it is open to the public as I thought it would be, and the times as we thought as well, adjusted just a little bit as the mini camp is going to be open to the public. And Jordan, it's going to be what, 11 to 115. Is when it's going to be open. So it's going to be a little later than it has than the OTAs, which is like 10:40-ish.
Yeah, be ready to sweat.
So, be ready to sweat for sure. But that is next week. We'll talk a little bit about some of the storylines this week as we see OTAs number 3 with Mike Tripoli coming up next segment here as well. Rest of the show should be fun. Chris Blair, 115, Voice of the Tigers, about the regional. At 1:30, Christopher Dabe, TimesPicayuneNOLA.com, has a pretty good story, and he's focusing on Cody Hosey, phenomenal player, American Conference Baseball Player of the Year for the Tulane Green Wave, has a shot to go in the first round. He's been tracking this process with him. He's going to watch it in his hometown, and could be a Cubby. I don't know if that makes the Graph happy about that, but he could be a Cubby. We'll talk to him at 1:30 about a big day possibly for him today, and also Marlon Favre at 2:15. Sharif Aishak-Doe, leadoff hitter, to talk about the Baton Rouge Regional, and perhaps could we see some Tigers, since it is the MLB draft today, go in the first round? Any first round possible Tigers, Sharif?
I would say possibly not. Maybe second round. Maybe you see
today's only the first round, right? Am I correct?
Right.
First round? And Sam's big enough. More than likely, maybe some of the guys are recruiting, but I don't see anyone going today.
All right, well, let's talk about the Baton Rouge region. My Golden Eagles putting up a little fight there, Sharif. But at the end of the day, LSU wins it 6-4 yesterday. And what is it, the 24th regional title, 14th super regional berth since the new format came to be in 1999, and got the luck that you and I talked about last week in that Florida State. Everyone said keep an eye on them. They wound up winning the Athens regional. So Georgia's out. LSU now hosts the super regional.
What did I tell you last week? Whenever they were playing a regional in Athens, I said Georgia was only a one-pitcher team. That was almost right. Florida State was a better team, and I thought no matter what, if LSU had to play at Georgia, or you know whoever came to the box, I felt like they were going to Omaha, and now they're going to have a really good, even better chance of Florida State coming to the box. But they're supposed to show you LSU is throwing their best ball at the right time. I mean, they're getting clutch hits, some good pitching from guys that, you know, haven't really pitched much this season. Vettmeyer comes out of the bullpen, has a great outing last night. He was probably the MVP coming into that game in some tight situations and, you know, got LSU out of trouble a few times. But, I mean, LSU just clutch hitters. I mean, Zach Watson and Josh Smith. Josh Smith himself, game, first pitch, the bottom half, bomb, second pitch season, his next at-bat, boom. Two-run triple. I mean, then you have Watson who delivers, and Garza has been red hot, man. I don't know what more you could say about the old, but he's been red hot. So to have all their players essentially hitting from 1-9, that's exactly what they need moving forward. So it's huge. It's huge. You know, LSU is, I believe, 8-2 when they don't have the box. Unfortunately, two of the last three times they were knocked out. Biggest score of the last three, 12, Stony Brook, 16, Coastal Carolina. But, you know, just throws 80% of the time they're going to go to Omaha for playing a spot.
Antoine Duplessis becomes the all-time hits leader over at LSU, and really the game is tied or trailing there for the Tigers. And I guess if I have to think of what he was there in his time at LSU is what he was, right? I mean, he starts the inning that gives LSU the lead and eventually the win by finding a single to start an inning, and then on the next base hit makes it all the way to third, and next thing you know, the Tigers are in business second and third, no out.
Yeah, I mean, he is the guy who starts it all. You feel like almost any game you need a rally, and number 8 is the guy who started the rally, and he goes from first to third on that base hit, just like that, and the second, Watson steps up, folks one in the second pitch up the middle, and that was pretty much it for your Golden Eagles. I mean, Vettmeyer and then Botno had some shakiness there, but you got out of it. I mean, but that just goes to show you got some fans on top. You know, one sat around the program and makes two records, and now you have the chance to still continue on and maybe play for something that eluded him a couple of years ago. I mean, I don't know what more you can say about him. I mean, he's done it all for the ball club. And Zach Watson put it best when he got the first hitting. He had, you know, two. And then Josh Smith is the best hitter he's ever seen. And Paul Menard just went on for a minute. He's talking about how great he was and how he's going to carry the fourth hitter that he's going to carry it for all.
You know, final question for you as you take a look at Florida State. Speaking with Sharif Oshak, Channel 6, they win 13-7 in their first game, 13-2 over Georgia the first meeting, and then 10-11 as well. Again, if I'm just looking at it from afar, I didn't really pay attention a ton to those games. A team that can put up some points, is this a team that's been like that throughout the season, Sharif?
You know, Florida State wasn't really that good throughout this season, and it's Mike Martin's last call. On the team of destiny right now. He's been the head coach since 1975. He's been there since 1975 as an assistant as well. He's been there. They go to the regional. Just to tell you how successful the program has been, but they haven't won a national championship. But right now, it just seems like they're cooking even more than LSU. And their bats have been just on fire for the last few weeks. So it's going to be a very good super regional. I mean, they got hit, but is it which pitchers are going to show up for LSU? He's going to get, you know, Orlando Marceau has been hot the last few weeks. Is Eric Walker going to be able to step in a better situation? He feels like, it seems like they've only talked about a offensive inning. I looked at everybody last night when we were watching the game. I was like, bad situation for Walker. The fifth inning, if he gets out of the fifth, I think that was fine. And just really struggled in the fifth. So Cole Henry, I think, is back. I think that's the guy who's, you know, going to set the tempo for the Tigers against a team that's swing like this. But that's going to be good, man. And at the box, ball flies out a lot. It's warm. Who knows what kind of weather delays we're going to have. But at night, the ball's going to fly out. And that's like going to be primetime games because it's Mike Martin, you know, farewell tour. Hotter team usually wins at home. I mean, I give the slight edge to LSU. They've faced much better competition throughout the year. I think it's probably going to go three games there, but I give the slight edge to LSU.
All right, so Sharif, slight edge. You do think it goes three games, the best of three series. Thanks for jumping on. We'll find out later today because there are still some games and some other super regionals to be decided. That's when the times, TV, and all that will be announced later on today. So tune in to the Sportscast, Sharif. Thank you, bud.
Oh, no problem. Anything for you,
Josh. Oh, that's so sweet. You hear that, Jordan? Isn't that nice? He didn't say it for you. He said anything for me.
That's quite
Golden
nice.
Golden Eagles are still terrible.
There you go. Thanks. Wow. Thanks for that. It's all the time we have for Sharif. Wow. Yeah. Terrible. How can you say they were terrible? They put up a fight.
Your Golden Eagles?
Yeah.
Funny.
What? What was that?
The first game, they put up a fight.
They didn't put up a fight yesterday? They were in the lead. That's not a fight?
We'll wait till the seventh inning.
You know what? You're a joke. 800-998-1003. Tiger fans want to hear from you, though. Thoughts against taking on Florida State. Florida State advanced through Super Regional. They were the two seed. And, again, you take a look at those wins. 13-7, 12-3, 10-1 over Georgia. The Tigers and Seminoles have split 18 all-time meetings. LSU holds a 4-2 advantage in postseason play, including a pair of wins in the 2017 College World Series. Chew, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got for us today, man?
Hey, Gus, I know you're not a big combat sports fan, but, of course, the heavyweight championship in boxing, Twitch
Ruiz,
games this weekend.
I saw social media go bananas by him sending Anthony Joshua there.
Yeah, he put him down. Actually, Joshua knocked him down first in the third round, and then he knocked him down twice after that in the third round. Ruiz did. And then he finished him off in, I think, the seventh. Joshua basically quit. He didn't want any more. I think he was scared to be, you know, flat out because it was on his way. I think his conditioning wasn't there. I think he probably took the guy lightly, but, you know, it is what it is. I guess it's easy to take a guy that looks the way that guy looks, but he can fight. I'll tell you that much.
I'll say this. I'm trying to get Rafael on to confirm here around 12:45 to talk about it. He was going bananas because, I mean, I asked him, like, how big an underdog was he? And he was a pretty big underdog. And then you saw a lot of the boxing world get in, you know?
Yeah, he was 15-1. But realistically, it's probably the biggest upset since Tyson Buster Douglas in the heavyweight division. You know, Rockman beat Lewis, but I don't think Rockman was, you know, Rockman beat Holyfield, so he was more of a better known guy. This guy was kind of thrown in last minute because the guy Joshua was supposed to fight popped for steroids. So this guy, you know, he's only lost one other fight, which was to a guy Joshua beat. Joshua beat in Europe. So they'll go back to Europe and, you know, Joshua will probably beat him, which would, in that case, force him to have to fight Wilder at that point, which is what the public wants to see. Everybody wants to see him and Wilder, but I think it takes a little bit of luster away. We've already seen him been knocked out now, so, you know, it won't be anything new when Wilder knocks him out.
Yeah, I still think, man, Wilder's one of those guys that, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll ask Rafael, he did just confirm to me, 12:45, we'll come on to talk a little bit about the fight, too, from his perspective, too. Wilder's one of those guys that reminds me of what it was like when I watched Tyson grow up, because when he fights, I find people tweeting or asking, would you take a punch for such and such money? You know what I'm saying? Because he's so fierce that, like, it would be a lot of money, and people are asking what they did with Tyson. Remember, that was like a thing when Tyson would box because the match would be over in the first round mostly, that people would go, dude, he's going to kill you. So would you do it for 50 G's or would you do it for $1 million? I find when he fights, that's what happens. I mean, that guy is so fierce, man. I mean, he called him out for quitting Joshua. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Is he he has the only belt then, right, that Ruiz done? Because he has three.
Yeah. He has the WBC, and then Ruiz has the others now. But, you know, I think when you're talking about Deontay Wilder and the Mike Tyson, it's the wow factor. It's the one thing that not every heavyweight has, which is he's got that right hand. And if that right hand lands, it's probably going to end your night at any second. So that's the, you know, you just never know. The guy could be getting beat up, which we saw in the Tyson Fury fight. I wouldn't say he was getting beat up, but he was definitely getting outboxed. He was getting outpointed.
Mm-hmm.
And one punch and, you know, Fury's down. And then again in the 12th round, I didn't think Fury was going to get up. I give him all the credit in the world at 12th round to actually get up.
Yeah, like I said, it was pretty incredible what happened. With the fight, though, a lot of people talked about it, man. It was kind of a big moment, I guess, in boxing when you look at it. Thank you, Chew. Appreciate it. Sounds good. I will have Rafael on at 12:45. Joey just confirmed he's going to call in and talk about it because, again, it was a big moment in the heavyweight division as well. I mean, people just heavyweights are back, and just again, it's nice, I guess, sort of see something unexpected, and I guess that's what took place. With Ruiz winning. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com, Saints OTAs. They moved it up on us, Jordan. It was Thursday. It's now tomorrow we'll get to go back out there to practice. I saw Cam Jordan this morning tweet, let's get back at it around 7-ish. So what if they moved everything up a bit? We'll talk about some of the storylines. Heading into the final week of OTAs, you're listening to the Sports Hangover, where Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Want a car or truck? Over 230 used cars in stock.
At below market prices.
Go to GregLeBlancToyota.com and shop now. All used cars are fully inspected and come with a free Carfax and low, low prices. Shop now online or in person at the Greg LeBlanc Toyota Superstore. For New Year's deals, you won't want to miss. Hurry in to Greg LeBlanc Toyota Superstore and save big for bigger savings and better deals. You've got to go to the Greg LeBlanc Toyota Superstore in Houma on Hollywood Road, where you're the star.
Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call a local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminex is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline. In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Got to check on my buddy, Mike Triplett, here in a second as we talk with him. Coming up first, Twitter Dave. What you got, buddy?
What's going on, Gus, brother?
How are you?
Got a LSU. A lot of fun to watch this weekend, brother. But I noticed that the starting pitching kind of worked out. Surprisingly, the guys that came in after the starting pitching was kind of disappointing, from what you could see.
Look, I look at it from this perspective. You're going to get in trouble in certain moments, and I think you're going to be able to try to get out of them. And what I mean by that is, I mean, very rarely at this level, either regionals or super regionals, you're going to get, I mean, even the guy that started for Lewis for Southern Miss yesterday, right, was remarkable going as long as he did, and he had never really started or pitched longer than three innings, goes into the seventh, but he gave up three runs. I mean, you just, it's, what are you looking for? You're looking to, you know, sustainability, stay out of the bullpen, get out of trouble when you have those troubles. And I do think, as Sharice said in the opening segment there, you did see not only the pen, but the starters getting out of some work and some issues. That's going to happen. I mean, very rarely you're going to have complete games, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a good weekend to watch. Fun, fun to see LSU play well. But I don't know if you got a chance, but was all four channels of ESPN over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
They gave you an opportunity to see all the good teams across the nation, including like UCLA, to see Georgia Tech, which was supposed to be good, but they didn't do so well. They lost. UCLA lost. They got to play. I think they got to play another round today.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, this is basically just an eye test. Nobody is better than Vandy. I just think, in my opinion, from what I've seen over the nation and what I've seen out of Vandy so far, I don't think nobody's better than Vandy. And I think the Vandy should be the number one team in the nation. I think they're going to be the team to beat. In my opinion, that's what I've seen. But I just want to say hi. Great show. And I'm continue to listen, and I'll hang up.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Twitter Dave, have a solid week, and hopefully you enjoy that weekend. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. We'll go over the NCAA bracket here coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mike, how are you? How you doing, man? I've already gotten a handful of, you know, St. Louis texts about the the weekend over the Cubbies.
I'm not going to acknowledge that.
Yeah,
that.
I know. Exactly. It is. What's going on, man? So OTAs, can you believe it's week three, rookie minicamp. Mandatory minicamp is next week. Fans will get a chance to check that out Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then it's time for the summer break, man. And then right around the corner, it is, of course, you know, training camp at the end of July. But going into week three, what can we talk about from week one to two that kind of stood out to you?
Well, that's a good question. I'm writing a post about Jared Cook for tomorrow. He stood out to me the first moment we walked on the field just
right?
because of the presence that he has, and look, I admit my expectations are going to be too high for him. I think they're going to be tempered because we all had high expectations for Kobe Fleener that didn't pan out. It doesn't
right.
mean that a student can automatically come in here and thrive just because he plays tight end and it's the thing. But the like about him and what he could add to this offense, because he just fills the most obvious missing void they had. And like I said, when they're not in pads and no one's tackling yet, he's just such a big dude out there that he really stands out to me. Was also playing in something. I was talking with Eli Apple last week. You know, this secondary actually has a chance to get better. You know, he was thrown into the fire midseason last year. Patrick Robinson wasn't here at all last year. They drafted a couple guys. I think that's an area where they can get better. My biggest question mark about this can be the defensive line. I don't think we're really going to get a good chance to evaluate them until we see padded practices and preseason games.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike Triplett, ESPN.com. I think one of the things, obviously, that have stood out to me last 3 weeks, and I'm going back, or 3.5 weeks, going back to rookie minicamp, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Mike, I know it's early, and people are making fun of me here in studio that I got a man crush, but the guy seems to be, by the week, just seems to look the part, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and absolutely looks the part, has played in the nickel, showing his versatility. Have we seen two interceptions from him? Not in full team drills, but we've seen I'm thinking back to rookie camp too, but we've seen him make a couple plays in the limited amount of time we've been out there. So, absolutely. You know, I don't expect him to play a role on defense right away because I do expect Patrick Robinson to be back in that nickel role. But you definitely see the potential there. No question.
You know, one of the other things that we got to see in week two from week one, we saw here and there Eric McCoy get some work with the ones. Again, sort of like you just said with the D-line, we won't really know the progress of some of these guys, especially on the O-lines until you actually start seeing some contact. But you're seeing them work in there, and again, it's probably learning the playbook and being more familiar with the plays.
Yeah, we've seen the rotation that I think we expect of already. We've seen two total practices, and we've seen Cameron Tom and Nick Easton and McCoy all taking turns with the first stringers, and Tom and Easton have both played guard and center, which is what we expect. But I do think I don't know if it's right to say it's McCoy's job to lose, but I think if he shows that he's ready for it, that's the ideal scenario, and then those other guys can be swing back up that guard and center. He has a presence and a poise about him. Obviously, he has great experience at a top program. He looks the part. All those things that I remember the shock of us finding out that Max Unger was retiring.
Right.
And it's amazing how quickly they sort of alleviated the concern there by getting a real good draft prospect as well as, the options that they have in those other guys. It feels like they're going to be okay there, though it'll be hard to expect anyone to play at a Pro Bowl level this year. It feels like they're in pretty decent shape there with options.
And Mike, we talked about it last week when we were talking about the OTA. One of the good things about it is this, that, you know, with that draft pick and with the addition of Easton, you saw Cameron, Tom, and Easton. Because Larry Warford hasn't, you know, recovering from whatever it is that Coach Payton said that he's recovering from. But you saw the depth. And I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. If McCoy and Warford wind up being your starters, obviously, then look, you got a guy in Cameron Tom that when they open up camp, he's the guy that was snapping the ball to Drew Brees. And he also has experience in doing that. In Easton, you signed him. The guy can play guard. He can play center. You, to me, all have already upgraded, the depth at that O-line, at least just with those two guys.
Well, and it's an embarrassment of riches at that position, too. I mean, not to say you can afford to lose a Max Unger, but every one of their five starters last year either made the Pro Bowl or first or second team All-Pro, all five starters. So, if one of your guys is just average or just okay, then that's probably okay.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. All right, look, two other things I want to touch on, speaking with Mike Triplett at ESPN.com, that, again, are intriguing. I mean, we try not to make too much noise out of certain things, but things that stand out. And we'll finish with, obviously, I think, receivers and things that are standing out to me. But I think you have to talk about week two of OTA, and you have to go Taysom Hill catching passes out the backfield. Sean Payton saying, oh, it's coming. We're working on everything. Because I think Saints fans are like, we need these receivers. Go get these guys. Go do that. I'm like, look, they got Jared Cook. You're seeing some other guys step up, but Taysom Hill, I mean, is there anything? I guess we shouldn't be surprised if he does anything and everything now.
Yeah, and he made a reference. I mean, look, at this point of year, they're not installing everything in the playbook, and I think he was sort of taking Alvin Kamara snaps because Kamara missed a practice. And, there's only so many guys, and you have to come up with a new letter to say what position he's the X-back or whatever you want to call him. So that doesn't mean, oh my gosh, brand new playbook coming this year. And if there is one, we're not going to see it in the second week of OTAs. But receivers in general, Cook will fill a big need, but it would be even better if someone like Traquan Smith or Keith Kirkwood, or I was saying Cameron Meredith, who we haven't seen out there yet, which is sort of a disturbing trend. But it'd be nice to see others step up in that passing game, too, because it really became an issue for them down the stretch last season. I think a healthy Ted Ginn, the addition of Jared Cook, Kamara, Michael Thomas, now you've sort of alleviated some of the pressure. You've got enough guys, and there's room for somebody else to sort of emerge and break out, and I think we're going to continue to watch that all preseason. I'm sure Tre'Quan Smith will have one of those monster practices or a monster preseason game where everyone gets excited, but mm-hmm. You know we're going to need to see the consistency out of him.
Look, it's interesting, and I think special teams will be obviously an area if he winds up earning a role, and preseason games will be, I think, kind of key for guys like Cyril Grayson. But you do see if it's a route that he's comfortable.
Sorry, I didn't mention him sooner.
What I was going to say, like, if it's a route that he's familiar with or he can plant and he may. You saw some DBs kind of like, you know, the basketball terms, getting their ankles broken on some of those routes and his speed. And you saw him go down a punt and that speed get down there. So, look, you can't coach speed, you know, and you just kind of wonder. Because my point that I'm leading into this is whether it's him, whether it's our guy, little Jordan Humphrey, who are ready to go buy his jersey for, things of that nature. Cameron Meredith probably should get on the field soon.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And look, we've seen a couple nice plays from Kirkwood, and I really think slot receiver is where they have the biggest need for a receiver, which is why I thought maybe Cameron Meredith had potential, but Kirkwood could definitely fill that role. Austin Carr, who we haven't mentioned. So they have a ton of options. Now, you don't want those to be the only guys you have, as we saw last year in December, but they have a lot of options. For a breakout guy to emerge. And, yeah, I mean, if somebody like Will Jordan or Cyril Grayson, you can find a Tommy Lee Lewis kind of niche where you're really good at one sort of thing. They'll keep it on this team. They've shown that before. I'm interested to see if they find an actual niche for Grayson because, even in punt coverage, he was going down there, and it's like, you know, you're not paying close attention to the special teams portion of practice, but you're – Right. You can't help but notice when somebody has that kind of speed on the field.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so as we get to watch practice tomorrow, what do you want to look at? I mean, I guess what will you be paying attention to tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, look, in these OTA sessions, we pay an inordinate amount of attention to the passing game because mm-hmm. we don't know if running backs, you know, we don't really know what they're doing out there when they're not in pads. We don't really know what the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman, how effective they're being when they're not in pads. So we watch the passing game. I'll tell you another guy who stood out to me is Teddy Bridgewater. We forget these are the first two times we've ever seen him play quarterback for the Saints in practice.
That's true.
That's true. And he's looked good to me. So we evaluate the quarterbacks, we evaluate the pass catchers, we're going to talk about these receivers like we have been, we're going to talk about these DBs like we have been, because that's what is the easiest to notice during OTAs. But I'm going to continue to monitor and see who are going to be the reliable pass catchers on this team, and I think in these non-padded practices, that's what stands out.
As we let you go, Mike Triplett of ESPN.com, we always appreciate your time. How do you rate the music so far, you know, during the stretchy portion and early individual drill portion of OTAs?
My favorite part was when they had a huddle mix up or whatever, and Peyton's like, that's it. All right, music off.
That's it. The music. I know Jordan always.
You don't get to practice with it anymore.
See, I bust his butt in here when we come back from in and out of breaks because Joey, you know, he's a classic rock fan and stuff. And Jordan wasn't born when half of these bands even started or, you know, are now doing their comeback tours at casinos near you. So he likes to get me, he likes to get back at me during practice. He's like, who's this? And I've never heard half of the music that we hear at practice. So that's his moment to shine, you know, the 5-10 minutes where I just always say Drake. I'm pretty – one of the songs has got to be Drake. So I'll just say Drake, you know, Post Malone is another, and then we'll throw in Biggie. I just throw out names, you know, and it's just, I'm always wrong. But, Mike,
I'll admit it's been a good trend, the music at Saints practice over the last 5 years or whatever it's been, dating back to West Virginia, where, I run a lot and I have a run mix that I listen to. And, you know, maybe once per training camp I get a new edition from Saints camp. I have to find out what that song is and add it.
There you go. Little known fact, Mike Triplett updates his playlist to go running.
Maybe you should do that.
Maybe I should do that. Yeah. Thank you, Mike, as always, man. See you out there tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
There he goes. What's your playlist? Give me one song out of your running playlist.
I have a lot of songs.
Mm-hmm. Can't give me one.
I don't know. I can't think of one.
Not one, huh?
Not one good.
That's because you have no workout playlist.
No, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You probably have a nap playlist.
You're right about that.
Yeah, I know. Coming up at 12:45, Rafael Esparza. We'll talk a little basketball. I mean, we'll talk some finals and also about the fight. He was pretty big on that here as well. Coming up, 1:15, Chris Blair, a little more on the Baton Rouge Regional. Tiger fans want to hear from you, your thoughts. He'll be hosting Florida State. They can actually make it to Omaha without having to play a top 25 team. So very beneficial for the Tigers to be able to have a pathway. Doesn't mean it's easy, though, against the Seminoles. They play very well against Georgia. NBA Finals, game number 2 goes to the Warriors. Some quick thoughts on that, and what's going on in Memphis that has a lot of Pelicans fans going, yeah. We'll tell you about that when we come back. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
This is the sound of the two new Reese's Lovers Blizzard Treats being made at DQ. But it's not what they really sound like. Listen closer. That's the sound of the extra chocolate in the Reese's Chocolate Lovers Blizzard Treat. Or maybe more peanut butter is your thing. In the Reese's Peanut Butter Lovers Blizzard Treat. And whether you pick chocolate or peanut butter, your favorite Blizzard Treat just got happier. DQ. Happy tastes good. At participating locations.
If you've been in an auto accident, even if you weren't injured, you've probably been contacted by someone urging you to go to a certain medical facility or a certain attorney to seek money from an insurance company. Auto insurance companies pay billions of dollars in medical claims each year, and they are a target for fraudsters who shop for accident victims who may or may not need treatment. They want your insurance information so they can bill for unnecessary visits and treatments that you may never receive. All of this adds up to higher insurance premiums for all of us. Insurance fraud is something you don't want to be involved in. There are ways you can protect yourself. If you're involved in an accident, talk to your insurance company first. Don't provide your insurance or personal information to someone that solicits you or tries to refer you. If you are injured, only deal with legitimate medical professionals and facilities. If you suspect medical fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB or visit www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
So Eddie Furness had that hits record, 21-year-old hit record, and it's now Antoine Duplessis' record.
Duplantis.
That's what I meant.
Wow.
Thank you.
Couldn't tell you were a Southern Miss Golden Eagle.
Well, I was reading something else. But yes, that's what I meant, Duplantis. Same thing. Starts with a D. So obviously we'll get the times and again the televisions and where you're watching it. A lot of people unhappy that it was on ESPN3. I have Apple TV. It's great. You pull up the ESPN app. I had that in the finals. It could split screen the audio. You just swipe it with your phone. It's great. It was fun to watch both the finals. And again, a huge shot by Iguodala the big story, I think there, okay, bigger story. Well, I don't think it's a bigger story. I think the story is Klay Thompson being injured, don't you? Was the bigger story that they wound up winning?
Depends on.
They don't win and Klay Thompson's injured? People are going bananas this morning. Right?
Well, Raptors should have won that game.
You think they should have won? I thought the war. Well, 20-0
run. If you score 5 points in that 20-0 run, I think the Raptors win the game.
Yeah, I blinked my eye, looked back over, and I'm like, oh, Golden State's leading?
You just have to put up a few points.
But that's the thing. People so overreact nationally after game one. Warriors are in trouble. This morning on First Take, are the Raptors extinct? What? They lost one game. The series is tied 1-1. But as I did say at the end of game one, Raptors won, but what stands out, again, if you remember, is you had to play, and that's the thing, to beat Golden State, you have to play darn near perfect or as good as you possibly can for one night. You got to do it four times.
You can't do that. I mean, you can't do that with Boogie Cousin.
Siakam had a career playoff night, 32, right? I mean, Marc Gasol's draining threes from the left wing and right wing and top of the key. You know, Kawhi Leonard has, I mean, that's what it took for game one. And oh, by the way, Golden State missed everything. I mean, and they were still in the game. You know, and that's why I'm like, that's what makes playing Golden State so hard. Aside from the fact that I love my Bulls. We talk about this all the time. I can't wait for that 30 for 30, 10-part documentary of the Bulls. So people like Jordan and the rest of the Utes of America can learn about championships. That said, I can't think of a team that can erase a 10, 15, 20-point deficit so quick. You can get up and go to the restroom, come back, they're back in the game.
You know, last night, I legit looked down at my phone for 5 minutes and then looked back up.
And Golden State's leading by eight. I mean,
I'm like, wait, what happened?
I went and cleaned the dishes. We were playing outside all day. You know, you put them in bed. You know my routine, right? 8 to 9. I mean, I don't know what's going on. And then I sit down and I'm like, what just happened? I mean, like, I cleaned the dishes. I come back. It might have been 7 minutes. And the game completely changed. I mean, it's so fast. They're incredible, really, to do that. Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, it's a big respect for them. They've been here the last 4 years, won the last two. And, I mean, you got to just take the challenge. Great basketball team. You got to go out there and accept the challenge and, you know, want to fight and win.
Tell me if you've heard this before. The third quarter is the quarter you better watch out when it comes to Golden State. We know this, being Pels fans. We've seen a couple of playoff series against Golden State in the AD era. And we've seen, obviously, they play them four times a year, so we watch that matchup. That third quarter is just so dangerous when it comes to Golden. It's like literally the first half, they're kind of like, all right, we'll see in the third. Right. I mean, I don't know if they get massages at halftime, IVs. What is it at halftime? Because they come out and they put up 34, hold you to 21. And again, I've always said this. What's so underestimated or underrated about the Warriors is their defense. And their ability to make shots and knock down threes and put runs applies an additional level of pressure to you as a shooter on the offensive end. You better make it. I've said this like 65 times, I think, in the last week when it comes to Golden State. And we saw it yesterday. You're up six. I missed two straight offensive possessions. I missed two shots. They knocked down threes. We're tied. All I did was just miss. And it's going to be great shots, good looks. I just happened to miss it. I missed the next one, and I'm now down three. I mean, in three possessions. Quickly, they steal the ball. There goes another three or an and one. Boogie, who apparently now is the greatest player in the NBA. Unbelievable. The decision to start DeMarcus Cousins being hailed as one of the greatest decisions in basketball history. Boogie.
Gotta give him some respect.
You're
put respect on his
name. That's right. Put some respect on. You're going to love watching him hoist that Larry O'Brien, aren't you? Huh? He's going to just smooch it.
Smooch it and just celebrating with KD and Clay at the end.
Yep, and pointing at the camera. I told you.
I did this.
Oh.
I've been here since day one.
Day one. New Showtime documentary coming. Celebrating with the trophy.
Played four games total in the playoffs.
Hey.
Five games.
Hey. He's done now. He's good. He's validated it. His performance last night validates everything.
Half the season.
That's it. That's right.
I'm a part of this team.
That's right. 1-1 because of me.
You know.
What? Don't hate. Go. You know. Do you still have that boogie jersey?
I never had a boogie jersey.
You didn't go get a boogie jersey?
I'm glad I didn't buy one.
Why? Why are you hating on his 11 points in 28 minutes? 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks. The man did work. Disrespecting him like that. I love how everyone overreacts to the phrase disrespect. Steph Curry saying it was disrespectful to leave Andre Iguodala. I mean, he was wild. Like, nobody even ran to him for the three that decided the game, essentially. Put the nail in the coffin. I mean, Iggy was so wild. No one even moved. They just, there he is. Go ahead, shoot it. And
I mean,
Nick Nurse,
all due respect, though.
I agree.
Look at all the other players on the court at that time.
Well, that's what Golic and Wingo were talking about today. It's like, Steph Curry, there's a meme and there's some gifs right now of Screamin' A rolling his eyes because Max Kellerman said, you know, who would you rather have they should have let Steph Curry take the three instead of Iguodala. And Stephen A's like, come on, man. I mean, seriously, who are you guarding there? I am. Iggy's going to have to make that three. I know he was an NBA Finals MVP. I know he was a great, great player early in his career. It's fine. But if it's Steph Curry and Andre Iguodala that I have to cover one, that's not even a question. Am I lying on that? I mean, that's not even a question. Not even a question.
I have that sound coming.
You got
your,
it?
Your way in a,
okay.
In a minute.
Because it doesn't make any sense to me when it comes to that as well. But, you know, of course, we can't have a finals in the NBA game without thinking KD's leaving. Or now, of course, Kawhi Leonard is. Ryan Hollins now the latest.
Man, I'm going to have to fast forward past this. This is the type of game that makes Kawhi Leonard leave. You look around. Golden State is injured, hurt. You're up. You're dominating. And you can't put your foot on the necks of the Golden State Warriors. Kawhi Leonard can go do that. He can go be himself somewhere else. He can go defend and go get 30 points. And tonight he joins the clubs of LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. I don't need Toronto for that. We're healthy. We're good. There's no reason that Toronto doesn't win that game. And Kawhi Leonard has done everything he can possibly do through double teams in these last two games. And, in fact, the entire playoff run. These are the games that send Kawhi Leonard to L.A.
Man, just campaigning for that L.A. I'm forming that narrative.
What's incredible to me is superstar franchise face of the league players. It's incredible. When they lose, didn't get enough help.
This series tied 1-1.
Nope, didn't get enough help. I mean, it's incredible now how people view these superstars have to have the easiest path to win a championship.
Hey, if you don't,
it's supposed to be difficult.
If you don't sweep the opponent, then
no,
you shouldn't be on that team.
Go find somewhere else to go. Yeah. You lose a game, that's your teammate's fault.
Oh,
it's
incredible. Go join LeBron.
Yeah, it's incredible. They lost? Oh, he's got to go somewhere else. L.A.
L.A.
It's got to go to L.A.
What about L.A.?
L.A.
Huh.
That's right.
That seems like the
Giannis, logical. He lost, right? He's out to say
L.A.
L.A. Sports Hangover continues next.
L.A.
L.A. on ESPN New Orleans.
Always on the run and short on cash. With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun Banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Napa Know How.
The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM.
Napa Know How.
The weather is heating up, and it's time to make sure your battery is ready. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Car not starting? The solution starts at America's number one battery destination. We'll test your battery for free and help you figure out the real issue, so you don't buy what you don't need. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store. The MPD Group Incorporated Car Care Track, 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
You know, it's always twice as nice when we get to visit with Rafael Esparza of ESI Doc Sports. Going to talk a little boxing here in a second. This morning on Get Up, Rafael.
At a time when everything is a referendum on everything, I heard a lot of sort of just chatter on social media after the game. Oh, Kawhi will definitely leave now. He played this big game. No one helped him. This is why he's going to the Clippers.
If he wins the championship, he's leaving. If he loses the championship, he's leaving. He's leaving. He's leaving.
Well, it sounds just like Rafael Esparza was on Get Up this morning. It's incredible. Jordan the intern just had an astute observation. Every single superstar player that's played in the postseason at some point during the playoffs,
LA.
I have a soundbite that they've said they're going to L.A. Klay Thompson's going to L.A. Kawhi's going to L.A. AD's going to L.A. It's incredible. Everyone's going to L.A., Rafael.
Jimmy Butler's going to L.A.
Giannis. Yeah,
Paul George.
He's got to leave.
I don't understand why. I mean, I could see the Clippers getting a lot of love or a lot of chatter just because they were one of my top surprise teams all this past season. Lakers, who wants to go to that soap opera of saga? I think the Lakers. I mean, now we're hearing that they're shopping ball to maybe the Bulls or something like that. I mean, I don't understand who will want to put on a purple and gold jersey. But the Clippers totally make sense. What they have and that cap room they have, I can see that.
Rafael, 1-1, the series is tied. Your thoughts on game two, especially if Klay Thompson's nicked up with that hamstring?
I mean, the Warriors look. The Warriors are like my body. It's like the operation game. Hamstring, back. I mean, who's playing on Wednesday's game? I have no idea. But like I said, KD, their bench is really light. Thompson probably getting an MRI done today. Who else got hurt yesterday? If the shoulder or back or upper body injury. I can't think of his name off the top
Looney.
Of my head. But there's
Looney.
Yeah, thank you. And Iggy's still not 100%. So, I mean, until I find out who's playing, who's dressing, who's not, I have no idea. I mean, because I could easily see Toronto going into stealing game three just because the Warriors don't have five. The Warriors have been exposed yesterday, granted they won, on how weak that bench is.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, and we'll move on to boxing. You do odds. So you've seen two games. They were both in Toronto. Have they changed what you've thought? Is it still Warriors in six? Are you seeing money making it seem like it might be going Toronto's way?
I still think Warriors in six. I was shocked that the public was betting Toronto. I mean, yesterday we closed Golden State plus 2.5. And it opened up around 1.5, 2. So the number moved either a full point or a half a point. So the public was betting Toronto. It's going to be very interesting to see. It's Golden State's 6-point favorite right now. It's going to be very interesting to see. Let's say Klay Thompson is questionable and all that. How much money we're going to get on Toronto. Because I have a feeling people are going to bet Toronto just because of what I just said, that Golden State should have a handicap, a logo on their back of their jersey, not the name.
All right, Rafael, let's get to it. I saw you tweeting and I saw the world tweeting on what took place over the weekend. The heavyweight champion now, Mr. Ruiz.
Yeah, I mean, just totally blown. I mean, I had no idea that was going to happen. I was excited for Wilder and Joshua. I mean, the heavyweight was so much in talk, so much great fights coming up. And then all of a sudden, the first Mexican-American heavyweight champion upset and just dominated Joshua throughout the fight. If you watch that fight, I was blown away. Joshua knocked him down. I'm thinking, all great. I bet the over 6.5 rounds. I guess I got scrap paper for the weekend. And then all of a sudden, Ruiz gets back up and knocks him down. And then ever since that, it was all over. To me, it just looked like Joshua was not prepared. I mean, it took him forever to get in a locker room. He's shaking hands with everybody. to me, it looked like he was prepared for this fight at all.
Mm-hmm. How big was the win, though? I mean, because you told me now has, what, 3 titles. Wilder's out there saying, Joshua quit. You don't want none of this. I mean, I was referencing it earlier in the show when Chu called and talked about boxing. When Wilder fight, he reminds me of Tyson, right? I mean, he's the guy that gets people going, dude, would you get in a ring for $1 million to let him hit you? Because you think you're going to die. I mean, the guy's so fierce that I don't know if anyone would ever really want to get hit by him.
Yeah, I mean, people were making fun of Ruiz Jr. just because of his body. He's got the dad bod and stuff like that. But he's got quick hands. I think that's what beat him. I think that's why... Anthony, we all thought that Joshua had a weak chin that was exposed. I mean, we're going to see Wilder versus Fury sometime this year, maybe towards the end of the year. I mean, we posted Wilder, a very, very small favorite, minus 120. If Joshua even fights Ruiz again, it's going to be in England because that's what the rematch clause is. He's a huge favorite against the champ. He's minus 350 to get his belts back. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I think it was great for boxing because now – you throw another heavyweight into the name. Granted, I do not think he's going to be the heavyweight champ for much longer. I think all 3 of them, Wilder, Fury, and Joshua, will probably beat him. But it puts another one in the mix, and how awesome is it to talk about the heavyweight fights on a Monday morning?
I was going to say, look, I mean, I think obviously we've been paying attention a little bit more to boxing with Ruguru, what he's been able to do here the last 2 years or so, and I'm staring at the autographed glove in our studio. So we've been paying attention to that, but... And I've asked you this before. Doesn't it feel like boxing the last 2 years, year and a half, has really had a resurgence?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the TV ratings. I'm waiting to hear the TV ratings for The Zone. I can't. The TV ratings for probably internet and repeat views are probably going to be higher because people probably went back and watched the fight. Maybe they just saw it on social media, and then they went back to watch the whole fight as it is. But we have some really good fights coming up. And, yeah, I think boxing is in a little bit uppalash of over UFC. I mean, UFC's lost a lot of big names. We just lost another one. Gustafsson retired after he lost on Saturday over in Sweden. I mean, we're going to see a lot of good fights. Fury's fighting this week. Triple G's fighting this week. We have a whole bunch of really, really good fights. Pacquiao, again, he's fighting this month as well against Keith Thurman. It's going to be very interesting. Then you got Lomachenko, who's been fighting on 3 ESPN or ESPN TV, who people think he's the best pound-for-pound fighter.
You know, Rafael, what would you say is the biggest thing that happens with this as well? It's just maybe some interest, the fact that upsets are always good for boxing to a good extent, or maybe a little bit of everything?
I think a little bit of everything, but I think if you're UFC. I mean, they have UFC 238 coming up in my hometown of Chi-Town, Chicago this weekend. It's on pay-per-view. That fight that we watched, the heavyweight fight, and Andy Ruiz Jr. was on DAZN, which is $19 a month, which they have 3 fights this month on DAZN, which that means Triple G. So you're actually getting 3 normally $80 to $90 pay-per-view fights for $19.99 for a month, where UFC, you have to watch UFC 238. Granted, UFC 238, stack card, Donald Cowboy Cerrone's on there, one of my favorite UFC fighters. But you have to pay $60 for that, and it's just one fight. I think that's where we learned the most this weekend with DAZN, ESPN Plus, who was showing great boxing matches. It's a lot cheaper than pay-per-view, what we've normally seen. I think that's why, again, boxing is taking a little upsurge over UFC.
Yeah, you said that, and you and I have talked a little bit about that. I think, again, from my days, you know, growing up too, as well, it's just – When you're popping $50, $60, $70, $80, it better be an entertaining fight, and people got that. I thought going back to the ESPN Friday night fights, and you're seeing it a lot more over the last 2-3 years on regular TV. I think that's helped bring back the interest.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that's why boxing is not taking the full upstage. I think the younger crowd still will take UFC any day of the week just because it's more blood, more gross, more high impact. But I think the boxing, the ratings, and it's coming back. We all thought boxing, 15 years ago, was completely dead. I mean, if you like combat sports, this Saturday was outstanding. You had 10 a.m. UFC Stockholm. You had ESPN Plus fights. You had Joshua Ruiz in DAZN. You had Alexander Redick on Fox Sports, another boxing match. So this Saturday alone was just great boxing. And then this whole thing again, this weekend alone, you have great boxing matches and then throw in UFC 238 on pay-per-view.
It is Rafael Esparza. Thanks for joining us here. On go ahead. You got like 30 seconds.
All right,
go
so
ahead.
Game four of the NHL Finals.
Yeah.
So who do you have tonight after the Bruins absolutely destroyed the Blues 7-2 at their own
soul.
At the Blues home? So who do you have
like
in tonight's game?
I like the under 5.5. I think Jordan's going to have a lot better game than giving up 7 goals and on home ice. I think it's going to be a low scoring game tonight. So, but I'm going to take St. Louis to even up. I like the under 5.5. But I got to hurry up because I'm going to OTAs right now, so I
you know
have
what?
To hurry up.
You know what? That's all the time we have for Rafael Esparza. You did so well over the weekend. Sorry to invite you to the Casa de Catangel Yacht Club yesterday to go diving in our little 2-foot pool.
Yeah, I didn't get invited either.
No, you didn't get invited either. So, see, Rafael, don't feel bad. Jordan won't invite
you. Okay, and I'll be able to sleep better knowing that Jordan was invited. Thanks. Exactly. I'll be able to sleep better.
There you go. Hopefully that helps.
It's a maybe 3-person pool. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's what it is. Thank you, Rafael. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk again on Friday. Yep, there he goes. Hour number one in the books. It was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King. 504-909-KING. Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.